For anyone who's had a long day of services, maybe went to the 2 o'clock service at Chapel Grove, you'll be happy to know this will be a fairly short lesson this evening. But we'll be picking up, as Brother James mentioned, from Galatians. We'll be continuing our study there. And this is very much still in the introduction of this letter, in the first chapter. And to go ahead and get us back into where we are, I'll be picking up with verse 11 through the end of the chapter, but we'll take our reading, we'll read the entire chapter as our introduction to the lesson this evening. So Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that what we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning these things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. So we see this as a brief recap of what James went over with us last week, that after greeting the brethren in Galatia, we read that Paul marveled at their ability to so swiftly turn away from the truth to false teachings of others, to false doctrine. He tells them that if they were to even believe that an angel had been sent to them with teaching that was contrary to what they had been taught, that person was to be accursed, that angel would be to be accursed. There would never be any addition or subtraction or reconstruction of the word of God. The law had been set, and Paul states that he is saying that he is showing this is speaking to please, not speaking to please men, but to be a servant to Christ. Paul establishes this even more in the idea that he is about serving Christ by telling them that this gospel that he has been preaching to them is not according to man or is not any new worldly creed. And the reason it is so, Paul tells us, is because he did not receive it from man. He had no teaching from anyone else like as he had with the old law. But Paul states it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is making the case for why they should stop listening to these false teachers that they have been encountering and allowing to lead them astray. Paul tells them that these are of men, and even if they were an angel, they would be false, because Paul, had received the revelation from Jesus Christ, and that revelation was the new law, the one, the only, and eternal law, and it was not to be altered. Paul realizes that the people he writes to know of him, and he tells them, he says, For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. So he could be saying this, you know, if there's anyone who had might would bring this up toward him as an accusation, he's able to bring this up before they would have a chance to cut him off. But also, I believe the main reason for him bringing this up is this is a point where he can really show the truth of what he is saying. He's someone who they know how staunch he was set against the church, all the ways he had persecuted them, and them knowing that, it makes it even more amazing that he now teaches the gospel he once tried to destroy. tried to destroy the gospel, because Paul was a pretty big deal in his former life before he became known as the Apostle Paul, when he was known as Saul. If you read through the book of Acts, starting the first around chapter 8 and all the way through the end, you read various accounts by Paul himself of things that he had done. He had breathed threats against the church. He had cast his votes against those to have Christians killed. And to give kind of an idea of the kind of man Paul was, if he would go into a city and he was to know that you and your family were practicing Christians, you were of the faith, as it was known then, as we read in Scripture, that he would go into your house, he would take you and your wife, your family, you would be bound, you would be taken and imprisoned, you would be scourged, and you would be potentially killed. If it came to that where he would have a chance to cast his vote against you, that you would be killed. Paul even says himself that he cast his vote against Christians. That's what would happen. But I believe even more evil than all of those things is Paul even says himself that he persuaded those to blaspheme Christ. He would, whether in trying to get them to in replace of death or to stop the beatings, that he would persuade them to blaspheme Christ. And I don't know exactly what that would consist of, possibly of them saying that the miracles Christ worked were that of Satan. But he would cause them to, not only would he cause them great pain and suffering for them and their family and potentially kill them, but also he would do his best to force them to blaspheme and to deny that Jesus was the Christ. And this is a very stark contrast from Saul of Tarsus, as we would read of him there, and to Paul now as a humble servant of Christ and of the church. We read in Acts 7 also that the first Christian martyr, Stephen, there's mention of a young man named Saul here, which is believed to be, again, who would be the Apostle Paul. But we're told there that at the time of the stoning there in Acts 7 and verse 58, that those who would do the stoning would lay their clothes down at the feet of a young man named Saul. He was very instrumental in the persecution, and he was very fervent for the destruction of the church. And as a side note, if you or anyone that you know ever thought that you had done anything, you had sinned too much, or something you had done was too grievous, that you could not be forgiven, or you struggle with something too much, there's no way you could be forgiven, I can assure you that if Christ could not only forgive Paul, but choose Paul to be such a great servant of his and for the church, that God's mercy and grace also cover any of our sins as well. Paul's life before being an apostle, I believe, is the very definition of persecution. We think of persecution of Christians, that's about as it gets, is what Paul would do to Christians then. Paul says that you know who I am, you know what I've done, what I was, and the things that I have done against other Christians. And yet he says it pleased God to call him and to reveal himself to Paul. We all know the story in Acts 9 that Paul was on the Damascus Road. He had went to the priest and asked for letters that he could take to Damascus, that he would maybe be able to go to with permission from the synagogues and imprison Christians to take them captive. And he got those letters, and he was on his way to Damascus when we read of Jesus coming to him as a bright light in the road, and he was struck blind. And when we read this passage, whenever Jesus speaks to him, we don't read any account of Paul questioning who the voice was. You know, Paul denied fervently that Jesus was the Son of God. Paul, as we read in our opening passage, was fairly highly ranked. He was above many of his contemporaries, his peers. He was very fervent for the Jewish traditions, and he did not question who was speaking to him. He knew immediately who it was, and he knew where he stood. A man so determined and full of hate as Paul was fully aware. You see that God revealed his son to Paul. Paul had the knowledge imparted to him by the Holy Spirit that Jesus was the Son of God, that he had been crucified. He had been resurrected on the third day. The commandments of Jesus were revealed to him, and it's the wording there is similar when we're told that he was revealed to Paul as when we're told that Philip preached to the eunuch and we told him that he preached to him Jesus. The wording there is very similar. And then as a result of that preaching to him Jesus, the eunuch asks Philip, he said, "Here is water, what hindereth me from being baptized?" So we know within that teaching there's a lot. There's all the teachings of Jesus were included in that, and also what was needed for to be have your sins washed away. And so in this as well is how Paul was. He was all this was imparted to him, the knowledge, the understanding, the teachings that the other apostles may have gleaned from Jesus was all imparted to him in a most fantastic way. But here in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says that once he was given his task of preaching the gospel and Christ had been made known to him, that he did not go straight away to take counsel or to confer with others, which it would seem strange to me. Why would you not go to the other apostles and talk with them and converse with them? But he did not even go to Jerusalem to see any of the apostles. We're told that he went straight to Arabia and then back to Damascus. And then after 3 years, he then would travel to Jerusalem and he would see Peter for 15 days. And besides seeing, apparently briefly, James, brother of Jesus, he saw no one else. All this he is stating to them, as well as the fact of who he was, but how he did not talk to the apostles, to show these churches in Galatia that unequivocally he was converted by Christ. He was given the special task. He had not been taught anything by man. The apostles didn't teach him what he was supposed to know. It was given to him, and he immediately started his work in preaching the gospel. He had been given the information, and he was given his mission. He immediately goes about that work. And he did that for 3 years. He did that for 3 years, and in that time he did not confer with anyone. He immediately had the truth, and he went and he taught that to the Gentiles. And the truth that he said, what he's saying here is the truth he has is untainted, and it is that indeed true. And then verse 20, Paul takes a moment to say that all with all this in mind, and before God, I have not lied to you in my writings to you. All this has been to prove that it is not he who has spoken falsely, but these other false teachers that they have encountered and have allowed to disrupt their view of God's word and to persuade them to go off the straight and narrow road. He's establishing himself as an apostle, but also separate and apart from the other 12. Then he goes on to say that after meeting with Peter, he traveled to Syria and Cilicia, that when in Judea in the presence of the churches, he was unknown to them. They'd never seen him before, but they knew who he was by his formerly called Saul of Tarsus. At that point, the people of Judea were told glorified God in him. Now, they didn't glorify Paul or praise Paul. They glorified God because of Paul, because of the mighty change that had taken place, and that they were truly rejoiced because of it, and not just because they had one less person that was persecuting them, but because of the great miracle that was Paul or Saul of Tarsus being the truth being revealed to him, and him turning from his ways and being such a complete change in him. They glorified in him and what had been done there. And those were my thoughts on the passage this evening. It was fairly short. We never want to lose an opportunity to offer the invitation. If anyone perhaps is not persecuting the church but hasn't obeyed the gospel, hasn't taken those steps, we would encourage you at this time, if you would like to do so, we would encourage you to come forward, and we'd be more than happy to assist you in being baptized for the remission of your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Or if you are one who would like to request a prayer to the church, either one as we come, as we stand, and as we sing.